Good to be with you this morning. It is a little cooler. I guess it's a good thing to have a little bit of winter before we get back to summertime. But it has been a kind of a cool week, and it was a beautiful day yesterday. Nice and sunny, and it's always nice to be in Florida with the sun, even though it was a little chillier this week. This morning, we're going to study the last of really a series of three lessons that we started at the very beginning of the year. And I really entitled these three lessons the idea of where we're going in the new year. Where are we going with our lives? And to make sure that we keep our lives focused on those things that are really important and not the things that really aren't important. And getting the right priorities in our lives, thinking about where we're going, and not just drifting along, but having purpose in our lives and making sure we're fulfilling what the Lord would have us to be this year. And in doing that, we're going to look at Luke chapter 12 this morning. And we've looked at a number of parables over the last couple of months. And this is the last of a long series of parables that we've been considering. And it has to do with where we put our priorities and to make sure we're truly doing and living the way that we should be. If you look at chapter 12, Jesus starts this chapter. He says, "In the meantime, when so many thousands of people had gathered together and they were trampling one another, he began to say to his disciples first, 'Beware the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy.'" Now, if you think about what Jesus is telling them, the Pharisees at that day were the people they listened to. They were their leaders, their religious leaders, and they were the ones that people looked up to. And he says, "Be careful who you listen to. Be careful who you let influence you." It's hard in the way that we live today not to be influenced by those things around us, whether it's TV or the different media, the internet, or whatever you listen to. They do influence you. And one of the ideas that Jesus is, be on guard against that. Because the idea with leaven, a little leaven works through the whole lump. And I don't know if you've ever made bread, but basically leaven is bacteria, and you put it, it's the yeast that you put into the bread, and it just a little bit will work itself through a whole loaf. And the idea is that teaching will do the same thing if you allow it. A little bit of false teaching, if you allow it, it'll work itself throughout your thoughts. And so you've got to be on guard against who you let influence you. And that's one of the ideas that we're look at as we go through the lesson today. We're going to start with a passage over in 1 John, one you've probably seen many times. I put it in the New Living Translation. And if you look at what John is saying, stop loving this evil world. Stop loving the things around you that you see, these things that we see that we seek after. And it's so easy not to want those. But John brings this out in very vivid language. Stop loving this evil world and all that it offers you. One of the ideas that Jesus says is be careful sort of what you believe and what you seek after, because are you really seeking that which is real? The world offers you, but it doesn't deliver, is what John is telling us. Stop loving this evil world and all that it offers you. For when you love the world, you show that you do not have the love of the Father in you. For the world offers only lust of the physical pleasure, lust of everything we see, and the pride of our possessions. This world is fading away along with everything it craves. But if you do the will of God, you will live forever. And that last line is very important. You will live forever. The idea of seeking after life. Now, think about what John is saying. There's three major things he said. First, the lust of the flesh, or the idea of sexual morality, is always around us. But then he goes into the things that we see. We desire the things we see around us. Somebody has something and that's neat. I'd like to have that. And we think about all these things around us and we want those things. And the very pride of our possessions. How do we judge people? When you meet somebody for the first time, how do you judge them? Somebody says, well, they really live in a neat house. Or have you seen the car that they drive? Or do you know their position at work they have? We judge people so often by their possessions, more so than. And what Jesus wants you to do is look a little deeper and judge people by who they really are and not just their possessions. And these things, as John tells us, they fade away. They don't last. These things that we put so much importance on, they don't last. They fade away even before we turn around. And so the question we have is, how much importance do we put on things in our lives today? And it's hard not to. It's one of those things we've got to be on guard against. That's one of the things that Jesus will tell us, to be on guard against these things. One of the ideas that go through chapter 12, Jesus is going to start the chapter with it, and he's going to end the chapter. And this parable is sort of in between. And the idea is the value that we have in God's sight. Listen to what he says. He says, "Are not five sparrows sold for 2 pennies? And not one of them is forgotten before God? Why, even the hairs on your head are numbered. Fear not, for you are worth more than many sparrows." I don't know if you've ever gone out and looked at a sparrow. Sparrow is one of the smallest birds. It's hard to even see them because they fly around. They always run around the ground. What are they worth? He says, God takes care of them. Are you not worth more than that? Now, he's going to end this parable talking about ravens or crows. He says, consider the ravens. They neither sow nor reap. They have neither storehouses or barns. And yet God feeds them. How much more are you worth than birds? And so that's one of the ideas that Jesus weaves through this whole chapter. Remember how much you're worth. Remember your true value. Your value is not in the things that you accumulate, the things that you have. It's not even in the wealth that you have or even your position. Those aren't that important. Those are not who you are. And that's what Jesus wants you to see. Your true wealth before God is not dependent upon the things of this world. Now look with me and look at the next section and how Jesus starts it. He starts with really a warning of being on guard. look at how he begins this section in verse 13. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Man, who made me a judge or an arbitrator over you?" And he said to them, "Take care and be on your guard against all covetousness, for one's life does not consist on the abundance of his possessions." Be on guard. It's so easy to desire those things around us, is what he's warning us. Now, we don't know exactly the history of these two men. We know that at that time, and in many cultures, the older son would inherit more. And in order to keep a farm or possessions together, a lot of times the older son would inherit the farm and the younger son would inherit very little. And so they evidently there were some disagreements. If you've ever been around a family that's lost a loved one, a lot of times there are disagreements on the inheritances. And we want different things. Sometimes it's emotional. Sometimes it's money. Here it appears to be more the idea of the money of the inheritance. And he wanted it to be fair. We always want things to be fair. One of the great parables that Jesus told us that we looked at a while back, we mentioned today in our Bible class, the parable of the workers. Some workers worked 12 hours and some worked 1 hour. And how fair was it for the guys that only worked an hour to get what the guys that worked 12 hours? And so we want things to be fair. And we want them to be fair according to our judgment on what's fair. And Jesus wants us to look a little bit beyond that. Don't think about everything always having to be fair the way we judge it. And what importance do we put upon the things of this world? And he brings out the very idea here. Your life does not consist in how many things you have or how much money you have or your position even in the world. That's not who you are. And that's what Jesus is trying to show you. Your true value is not in your possessions. This idea of covetousness is one of those ideas that goes through the New Testament. In Colossians, Paul says, "Put to death everything which is earthly in you." I like that translation. Some translations put worldly, but here he puts it almost like dirt. And what do you think about when you think about the earth? You sort of think about dirt. At least I did when I read that. And it sounded good. Put everything to death that really is of this earth and this dirt around us. Sexual morality, impurity, passion, evil desires, covetousness. That's not a word we use a lot, to covet. And it really, some translations just simply puts greed. But it's really a broader term than just greed. It's that idea that you desire with passion those things around you that you see. The things that really don't belong to you, but you want them. And you want them with great desire. And Paul says that's the same thing as idolatry. You read through the Old Testament and you see how many times the children of Israel would put up an idol and start worshiping it. And we'd say, well, how could they be so dumb that they'd worship an old stone or something instead of the living God? What Paul tells us is we're doing the same thing. If you start wanting these things around you so bad that that's where your passion is, then you've made that into your God. And that's why it's idolatry. Covetousness then is that passion for things that belong really to someone else, that don't belong to you, but you want them with passion and desire. It's that idea of greed, wanting things that you don't really even need, but you just want them to that desire. And that's where Jesus brings us to this parable. And listen to it as we read through the parable one more time, beginning in verse 16 of chapter 12. And he told them the parable. The land of a rich man was produced plentifully. And he thought to himself, what shall I do? For I have nowhere to store my crops. And he said, I will do this. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, fool, this night your soul is required of you. And the things you have prepared, whose will they be? So is the one who lays up treasure for himself, but is not rich towards God. Now look at this man. If you just looked at the first half of the parable and looked at the man, what would you think about him? You think, pretty good guy. He works hard. He's industrious. He's wise. He's planning for the future, laying back and taking the right precautions that he should. But the way that the world would judge things, this guy is a guy to be admired. He's successful in the world. He's got ample goods. Due, it appears, to honest hard work. Many churches I've been to, often they appoint elders on the men that are very successful in business because those are the people we look up to. And we do. We have a tendency to look up to people who are successful in the world. And this man truly was. He doesn't seem to in any way to be immoral or dishonest. All the goods he had, he had worked hard for himself. And he's the type of person that we would look up to. But five things I'd like for you to look at first off. His energy, his goals were totally for things of this world. He had no dependence on God. If you go through and read this, notice how many times he says, mine. He says, my goods, my barns, even my soul. Everything was his. He was totally self-centered. He had no thought to God, and he had no thought to his fellow man. And we'll see that as we go through the idea of you have a duty to God and a duty to your fellow man. That we have a responsibility to those around us. This man was really totally self-centered. It doesn't appear he had done anything wrong other than he was just centered around himself. He believed his life depended upon earthly things. And it's hard in the way that we live today not to drop into that. Not to drop into this idea that, you know, if I just had a little bigger house, or, you know, if I just could get a new car and get rid of that old one, then my life would be good. And we have this idea that, you know, if I just had a little more money, if I just got that promotion, got a little bit better job, then everything would fall into place and everything would be good. It's easy to fall into that idea that the things of this world would solve our problems. That's where this man was. Everything was centered around himself, around his earthly goods. And notice that last one. He did not consider death as part of life. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27. The Hebrew writer says, it's appointed to man once to die, and after this, to judgment. We need to plan even for death as we live our lives. And the very idea here, he says, my soul. And notice what God says to him at the end. Your life. You think about what's your most precious possession that you have. This man put his earthly goods as his,
those were his possessions that he labored for and he protected. He didn't even think about his life. But here it says your life will be required of you. The idea is that your life is on loan to you from God. You don't own your own life. God has given it to you, and God will require it of you someday. If you remember 2 weeks ago, we looked at the parable of the pounds, where the nobleman gives each of his servants a certain amount of money to go off and labor. In other words, you are to use your talents that you have for your master. Here it goes down, not only are you to use the very talents that God gives you, you're to use your very life. Your very life belongs to God. And He's loaned it to you, and there will come a time when you have to give an account for what you've done with those things that God has given to you, even your own life. Life is a loan from God, of which we will have to give an account someday. And that's one of the ideas that sometimes we like to think, well, my life, I can do with it like I want. Well, perhaps you can do that what you want for a while, but you will have to give an account of your life someday before the Father. That's the idea that Jesus brings out, that life, death is really a part of life, and you need to think about that. When we talk about where we're going with our lives, remember those two roads that Jesus talked about. He says there's a wide road that's easy to follow, the way of the world that leads to destruction. There's a narrow road, and that road, few find it, but it leads to life. We need to search for that road, and that's the road we need to be on this year. And so we need to think about, what are we doing with our lives? Are we living like we should? Now, Jesus ends this section with a number of warnings to us to tell us how to apply this parable. Look what he says on down in verse 22. And he said to his disciples, therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, nor your body, what you will put on it. For your life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. Consider the ravens. They neither sow nor reap. They neither have a storehouse nor a barn. Yet God feeds them. How much more value are you than birds? Your life depends upon trusting God. If you go back to 2 weeks and you remember the parable of the nobleman that gives each of his servants a certain amount of money to go out and work, and they all come back in and tell him what they've done with it. The last one comes in, he hadn't wasted it. He hadn't wasted his talents, he just hadn't used them. And why had he not used them? Because he had not trusted in his Lord. We need to have that trust in God. If we do, then we know we're more valuable than birds. Now, Jesus is not saying we don't have to do anything. We can just go over and sit in a corner and God's going to give us whatever we need. He's not telling us to be lazy. There's many parables that go through the idea that we're to use the abilities God has given us for His kingdom. But the idea also is we're not to be anxious about all the things of this world and worried about all these things. For if God provides for the very birds of the air, He's going to provide for us too, if we have our trust in Him. Life depends on our trust in God. Look at the next one he says, very simply. And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to a span of life? If you cannot do this small thing, why are you anxious about the rest? One of the ideas that we seem to have is that we're in control of everything. What Jesus says, you're not in control of everything. You don't control how long you're going to live. You can't even add an hour to your life. You're not really in control. You need to trust God. He's the one that's truly in control. You think you can control things? You can't even control the very simplest things. We need to have trust in God. Seeking this world doesn't bring the gain that you think that it does. That comes only from God. And look at the last one that he brings us to, the a little bit longer passage, beginning in verse 27. Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon, all of his glory, was not arrayed as one of these. Solomon was one of the richest men in all the world at his time. If you go through the Old Testament and in the book of Kings, it talks about how many horses and cattle and even how many wives that he had. And if you put the richest man in the world, we could put Bill Gates there today or somebody else. And what he's saying is, it doesn't matter how much riches you have, none of them can even compare to the flowers that God makes,
The flowers that pop up today and are gone tomorrow. Even these flowers are dressed greater than the richest man in the world. But if God closes the grass, which is alive in the field today, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more would He clothe you, O you of little faith? Or you do not see what you will eat and what you will drink, nor be worried. For all the nations of the world seek after these things, and your Father knows that you need them. Instead, seek His kingdom, and these things will be added to you. Seek His kingdom, and these things will be added to you. That's the idea of remembering your value. We started the lesson today, and I think so often we forget that. We live at a day and time when science tells us they have all the answers. And science has a lot of answers. It has a lot more understanding than we have ever had of our universe. But it doesn't bring down that idea of what's the purpose and value of your life. And what Jesus wants you to remember is that your life has value. You have purpose in His kingdom. And you have value. Don't ever let the world rob you of that. The world offers you a lot of things, but it cannot offer you purpose and give you real value. And that's where Jesus is. He says, remember, God takes care of His creation. We looked over in Psalms 19 last week. God has created the heavens and the earth. He's created everything. And through His creation, we see His divine majesty, His divine power. His very eternal being is all shown by His creation. Now, if He created everything and He keeps it all running just like He does, is He not going to value you? Remember, He keeps care of the birds of the air. But He didn't send His Son to die on the cross for the birds. But He sent His own Son to die on the cross for you and for me. And we need to remember we have value. And go back and think about in this parable the things that Jesus points out. This man forgot his value before God and his responsibility to his fellow man. I'd like to end with really what we had in our Sunday school class this morning. The idea of how you truly can live. And remembering the great parable that he gives, the Good Samaritan. Right before it, Jesus says these words. When the lawyer answered him, what was the two great commandments? He says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind and your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus answers him and says, you have answered correctly. Do this. And notice that last line. Do this. And you will live. You will live. True life is found when we follow the ways that Jesus laid out for us. He's not talking about just heaven. He's talking about true life now. You say this world offers you a lot of things. Jesus is saying true life, real life, is found only when we follow after our Lord and our Savior. When we do His will. This morning, think about how you are living your life this day. Are you following after the Lord? Are you keeping His commands? Do you remember your duty to love God and love your neighbor as yourself? This is where our life needs to be centered. Not all the possessions we have, not all the money we can have, or even the position we have at work, but the idea of our value before God. Truly, we're all worth much more than birds. We're worth so much that God loved us and gave us His Son upon the cross. Remember that this week and think about your life and how you're living it. If you need to come in any way, won't you come as together we stand and sing.